See everyone this morning. If you will, turn to 286, please. Speaker this morning's Charles. He's coming. Savage. Good to see him here. He'll be our speaker. 286. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love or shaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark is the voice of angels, born in a song to me. Over the fields of
God, we ask you to be with those unable to be with us today, dealing with various health ailments, those that having the upcoming test procedures, those mentioned in the prayer list, giving them strength and comfort during their challenging times. God, we ask you to be with us throughout our service, be with Brother Charles as he gives a lesson of your word, and that we're able to receive their lesson and apply it to our lives and become better Christians. All these things we ask you is in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. That's Luke chapter 21, 1 and 2, and in the Pew Bible, that is page 1473. 1473. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites.
Please turn to 388. Sing a song, and Charles will do the speaking. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children.
I'll need my Bible. There you go. Thank you, sir.
You might need that.
I mean, you can have it when I'm done, but I got to have it for this morning. I was a little disappointed on my way to get here this morning. I didn't see any deer. It's like, last time I was here, I had like 8 over on one side. Today, this morning, I got absolutely nothing. I didn't know what to do. I was lost. I want to thank you for the scripture reading this morning. Most of us are used to hearing that section of Luke 21, and they talk about the rich and the poor. And many sermons that I've heard over the decades from various ministers is that they go to this scripture when they want to talk about us giving more money to the contribution. Well, I promise you that that's not the case this morning. I'm not going to ask you to give more money. That's up to you. Okay? I'm going to leave it at that. Okay? What I'm interested in is the idea that the widow, you have all these people who have, the next two verses, Jesus brings to the point, he says, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. Now, let's see. Do I have it with me this morning? No, that's a dime. That's not going to work. Okay. What did I do with the pennies I had? Who cares? They're just pennies. Nobody pays attention to pennies. Or do we? The two mites, if I understand, a mite, two mites. Is this on? My mic's on? Okay. I wasn't quite sure. Okay, Nah, I'm fine. I'm good. All right. A mite, two mites, is not even worth a penny. Not even worth a whole penny. So this lady, that she's putting in all she's got. And if she doesn't even have the money enough to cover a penny, to most of us, we don't think much about it. You know, this little, but Jesus says this poor widow put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. Out of their abundance. Yeah, out of their leftover. Oh, this is what I have, but this is what I more have, so I'll just take this and give. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. When was the last time you were truly broke? I've been broke 3 times in my life. Ooh, I might actually have a penny now. I think it got caught in my pockets. I have 2 pennies. Oh, that's cool. Ah, that's an old one. Who cares about that one? Here, this one's shiny. This one's new. That means, well, actually, if you got a shiny new one, it's worth less than the old one, I think. Yeah, maybe. Okay. I actually have more money. I got 2 pennies and a dime. I've got more money than that widow. Wow, I'm blessed. That's cool. Okay. It's just a small amount. But that small amount that widow had represented everything she had. I wonder what she, you know, and we know we're not taught anything more about this widow than this little bit. I wonder what she was going to do after she left, giving the last she had. I wonder what happened to her. I wonder what she had. I wonder where she was going to eat, where she was going to sleep. Well, she probably had a home, but whether she had anything else, I wonder. Because we're not told. We're told that all she had, she gave what she had. I wish Jesus had filled in the little bit of blank there. But I don't think that was the lesson we were supposed to have. But to me, it's like she gave all she had. 2 mites. Not even a penny. But Jesus says she was more generous. She gave more than the people who had a lot and just gave of their leftovers. Now, about, I don't know about you, but you know, on occasions, I've gone to somebody's home and they fed me a meal while I was traveling with the Ohio Valley College Chorus back in 19... Yeah. And what would happen was we would sing at a congregation. Sometimes they were a small congregation like this one. Sometimes they would be 200-300 people. But everybody in the congregation would like take 2 people and take them home, keep them overnight, usually feed us a supper. Usually we ate at the church building, usually in the fellowship hall. They would give us spaghetti and meatballs and rolls. And you have no idea how many times I ate spaghetti and meatballs and rolls. Or I ate lasagna, you know, at these gatherings, okay? And then they would keep us overnight, give us a place to get a shower and get ready to get back on the road for the morning. They would give us breakfast. And then they were supposed to give us a sack lunch. I have had more pimento cheese sandwiches in my lifetime than you'll ever know. To this day, I do not eat pimento cheese sandwiches. It's kind of like Dallas Lockhart used to say, I ate so much chicken when I was in the military, I don't eat chicken now, so don't invite me home for chicken. You know, and so, but anyway, sometimes these people would give, they were actually sacrificing not only their space and, you know, their water so that we could have a shower in the morning, but they would sacrifice by making us a lunch. And I know this one couple that I stayed with in Texas. They were a brand new couple, a fairly new couple, and they had a brand new baby. And they had no spare bedroom. My packing partner, as I had at Harding University Chorus, we stayed in their home. He worked for an exterminating company. And she stayed home with their brand new baby. And we slept in the living room. We didn't have a bedroom to sleep in. And we just washed up. They didn't even have a shower. They barely had a bathroom in this one-bedroom house. in the middle of nowhere in Texas. And you stayed in their home, and they gave us scrambled eggs for breakfast, a piece of toast, and then they made us pimento cheese sandwiches for lunch. So when you get on the bus, if you got tired of eating pimento cheese sandwiches, you'd be trading with the people who had peanut butter jelly or the banana or the bologna. Now, for those of you who like pimento cheese, bless you. For those of you who don't, bless you. Okay. But anyway, they were giving us, some of them were giving us the best they had. This widow was giving the best she had because it was the only thing she had. And you notice, Jesus doesn't make fun of her. It's just something he notices, that these people are giving away what they've got left over. She's giving all she had. That's interesting. But it's such a small amount that most people wouldn't even give it a thought. It was something small, something very small. I need you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Normally when I give a sermon, I don't have you jumping around in your Bible a whole lot. But today we're going to do a little jumping, not a lot. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to start about verse 31. Verse 31. It says, parable, Jesus produces a parable for them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and which indeed is the least of all the seeds. The least. Okay? But when it grows, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds in the air come and nest in its branches. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I actually went to find out a mustard seed. You know, when I was a teenager, I was like, well, I don't even know what a mustard seed is. So I asked my mother for mustard seed, because I was curious if we actually had any. No, we didn't have any. So I saved up a few pennies and went to the grocery store, and I bought this container of mustard seeds. I don't know whatever happened to the container. I must have done something with it. I don't know. But as a teenager, I read this, you know, because we were talking about mustard seeds during one of Dallas Lockhart's sermons. And it was like, oh, I had no idea what a mustard seed was. So I actually went and bought some. And it was like, well, this is all I get? It was such a small can. And I thought, wow, there's not a whole lot here for the 21 cents they charged me for the mustard seeds. It was like, well, I was disappointed. I was expecting, you know, a can. Mustard seed, no, it was a can, you know. And I thought, well, you can't do a whole lot with a mustard seed. Well, that was the whole point, and it wasn't sinking in, okay. Decades later, I run across a gentleman who owned a restaurant. Now, I don't know whether you've actually ever eaten in the Old Market House Inn in Zanesville. Maybe some of you have. Maybe if you're like me, you probably haven't done it too often. Yeah, because it's a little on the pricey side as far as I'm concerned. But I knew Jimmy Adornetto. Ran across him, and he's one of the few times that I actually ran across somebody who didn't want me to call them Mr. Adornetto. He says, just call me Jimmy. And I'm like, well, that's not what my parents taught me to do, but okay. And so I went into Mr. Adornetto's, I went into Jimmy's restaurant one time, and I had a waiter come up to me, and my wife and I had made our order for the meal, and I got a salad with honey mustard dressing. And in the dressing is real mustard seeds. Not mustard, but mustard seeds. And so I learned part of the trick, part of the recipe. I learned the recipe for Jimmy's honey mustard dressing for salads. And then somebody told me what was really in it. And I thought, is that all? And no, I'm not going to tell you because I promised I wouldn't. So I've kept the recipe in my head all these years. I promised Jimmy that I wouldn't pass it on. So that's all you get. But anyway, to know that this little tiny seed is going to grow to be an herb. And then it's going to grow to be a tree. Now, I see lots of trees out there. I've never seen a mustard tree. So this is a new one to me. Okay, I'm yet to see one. One of these days, I hope to see a mustard tree and I go, finally, the parable actually does make sense. But it's not just the herbs, and it's not just a tree. But it's a tree that's so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Heaven is like something that was small, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And we have some place to go. It is large. It becomes home. Can you imagine? You're going, wow. Now I assume that a mustard tree must be pretty good size for the birds to be able to come and make a nest in it and have some place to live. We as Christians someday will have some, our spirits will have some place to live, heaven. And now I realize this is just a comparison, but it started out with something small. The widow's mites are small, but it made a big difference in our concept of what it is we give. Mustard seeds are small, but it grows into a huge tree. Mustard seeds are smaller than acorns. Wow, cool. I mean, you know, it's just a little tiny speck of something. But it made a big difference. That mustard seed made a big difference. This last week, I filled in as a substitute for an English teacher who was trying to get the students, freshman students to read a particular book. It's by Elie Wiesel. It's called Night. And it's a horrible book. Or excuse me, it's a book about horrible things. Let's talk about it. I said that wrong. I'm going to get it right, you know. It's a book about horrible things. The Holocaust. Now, the book is only 120 pages. And it talks about something that one person started. Most of us have read enough about the Holocaust to know that, as I explain it to the students, that you have a man with a really bad mustache and a terrible comb over who is Austrian, who convinces an entire country that they are better than the rest of the world. One man made all the difference in the world. We all know him as Adolf Hitler. Now, believe it or not, the gentleman was a very interesting speaker. I say this cautiously because I know what he turns out to be. He was a very interesting, enthusiastic speaker. But in the wrong way. Yeah, one man. Most of you have had gone through school, your entire school history, having one teacher that you absolutely loved. Who was that person? Who was he or she? And what was that subject? And you loved that teacher. They were excellent. They knew how to inspire you to learn, to do good things. One. Maybe if you were lucky, you had two. Maybe it was a coach that you looked up to. Maybe the teacher was the coach that you looked up to. It all depends on how they did their job. You may have ended up with two jobs instead of just one, being a coach and teacher. But I was fortunate enough to have one or two teachers that I looked up to. But as individuals, they were one person. One person makes all the difference in your world. Maybe one person inspired you to be a Christian. One. Let's go to the book of Mark, please. The book of Mark. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we know this story. I know we do. Let's go to Mark 25. Mark 5, chapter 25. Jesus is moving around through the crowd. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She was sick." Can you imagine being sick for 12 years, ladies? I can't even think about that kind of thing. "And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." Okay, can you imagine spending all your money for 12 years, spending all the money that you have to get healed? And every doctor you go to just takes your money. They never actually make you any better. Matter of fact, you're getting worse. Okay, now for some of us, that could be true. We spend money on doctors and never quite seem to actually get any better. We just get older. Okay, this lady is having a tough time. I mean, really a tough time. She is sick for 12 years and not a single doctor has been able to help her, and she's spent everything she's had. Okay, just like the widow, she's spent everything she's got. Okay, "When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and did what? She touched his garment." Okay? She just touched his garment. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, when he was small, Mom, did you feel him touch you? Pants, jacket, that kind of thing? Dad, did you feel him touch your jacket? Say, "I'm pants." You know, that kind of thing. Did you feel that one tug on you a little bit? Just a little? No? Okay. "For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Now, who told her that if she touched his clothes, she'd feel better? Nobody. Nobody. But she believed that if she touched his clothes, he doesn't even have to touch her. She touches his clothes. It's not even him. It's just his clothes. That she's going to feel better. She believed. "Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction." She immediately felt better just by touching his clothes. "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him." Hey, I felt like I've slowed down a little. What's going on? What's happened? What happened? Oh. "Turns around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes?" Jesus noticed. He's looking around to find out, who touched him? Who touched me? Who bumped into me? The only time I've ever had an opportunity to ever go out of the country. I was in London, England for 5 days on some sort of a vacation type thing, and I took some college students with me. We were going through the subway. We were going to the tube, as they call it, because it's underground and it's a big, huge thing, and the trains look like tubes, okay? And I was walking through. Of course, one of the things they tell you as a tourist, everybody knows who the tourists are because we're always looking around and trying to find what things are. So it doesn't take long for them to know who you are. And somebody bumped into me. Now, I'm going to assume that this person just by accident bumped into me rather than trying to pick my pocket, okay? I'm going to assume that they just bumped into me. That's it. And it was like, oh, who bumped into me? You know, I turned around to try to find out who it was and never did. But, you know, can you imagine Jesus says, who touched me? Who touched me? And he looks around and sees her who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She knows what she's did. Jesus knows what she's done. But she tells him anyway. A touch by a woman. And he says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Go. You've been taken care of. Go. All from one touch. Wouldn't it be nice? You get to touch somebody and they're healed. Okay, I'm going to be on your front door here in about, you know, 5 minutes. Okay. Can you imagine what that would be like? Somebody, you touch somebody and they're healed. Touch. One touch. One coin. One seed. Made all the difference in the world. One. Sometimes we don't think that we actually do a lot. I wonder what happened to the people who saw, who were around Jesus at that moment when the woman touched him. We don't know. I wonder how many of them heard what he said to her. You've been healed, go your way. Your faith made you whole. Be on your way. I wonder how many people heard a seed makes all the difference in the world. Your donation made all the difference in the world. Is it really the money? Is it really the seed? Is it really the touch? Or is it you? Is it really the object? Or is it you? That widow made all the difference in the world to somebody. We don't know who. That seed made all the difference in the world, but I don't know how many birds were in that tree later. That woman was healed. Will make the difference, made the difference to somebody. Do you think she actually stayed quiet about that? Or do you think she went home to her friends, her neighbors, and said, after 12 years I've been healed. Finally. And I met this guy named Jesus. And he made all the difference in my life. One donation, one seed. One touch made all the difference in the world. You are one person. You make all the difference in the world. A kind word that you gave to somebody, a cup of coffee. Now, sometimes we're actually set up for things so that, you know, we don't know who people really truly are. And I wouldn't normally talk about this much because it normally doesn't happen to me. But one day I was on my way to McDonald's. I parked my car. I don't normally go into McDonald's, which is really the strange part about it. But I ended up in a restaurant I normally don't go to. But I pulled in to get lunch, a sandwich and some French fries, which, by the way, I probably shouldn't be eating anyway, and a cup of coffee. I got my lunch, ate there all by myself, and got ready to leave. Walked across the parking lot, almost got to my truck, and this guy wearing a backpack walks across the parking lot, and I thought, oh, okay. And sure enough, he stopped and he said, hey, can you buy me a cup of coffee? And I thought, not sure. I thought about it for a second. Because usually people will just ask you for the money. And I said, I looked at him and I said, so you want a cup of coffee? He said, yeah. I said, well, how about if I just give you the money? He said, now, can you buy me a cup of coffee? And I thought, yep, this is my opportunity. I'm going to take advantage of this. And so I said, I'll tell you what, if you want a cup of coffee, you follow me into the store and I'll get you one. So I walked up to the counter. The same lady who waited on me the first time is now going to wait on me the second time. And I said, she said, can I help you? And I said, yes, ma'am, you can. I said, this gentleman says he wants a cup of coffee. And he looks at her and says, and I want it black. No sugar, no cream. He just wants it black. And I'm like, okay. He doesn't need the money for other things. He wants a cup of coffee. So I bought him the cup of coffee and I gave her the money. And he said, thank you. I paid for the coffee. And I said, well, you have a good day. I don't know anything else about the man. But I'm hoping that one cup of coffee made all the difference in his world. I found it strange, though, that he didn't ask for the money. He asked for the coffee. And I thought, okay. As we go through our world, you never know what one act of kindness will do. Amen. And it's not for us to know how it all turns out. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the person that you're doing it for. Sometimes it has to do with you. Yeah, I may have done something nice for him, but I could have just as easily said, nah, I don't have any money, I'm sorry. Have a nice day. I could have. Now, what this will do, what that one cup of coffee will do for that gentleman, I have no idea. Maybe he was just thirsty. Maybe that was his meal. I don't know. I will never know. It's not my business. But I gave him what he thought he needed. And I hope and I pray that it turned out well. As a congregation that sits on a hill, as your sign says, I just happened to see that when I turned around this morning, you can't hide your light. And as you get an opportunity this week, next week, week after, maybe today, remember, you are the light that leads people to the light of heaven, Jesus, which leads them to the light of God. Every act of kindness that you show, not only as a congregation, but as a Christian, means something to somebody. Maybe not even the person you do it for, but maybe somebody else who sees you. Don't forget, children have eyes too, and they see the kindness that you do for other people, and it leads them to be planters of seeds, lighters of the light, the healers of the world. This may not be the sermon you thought you were going to get by giving of two mites, but for me this was encouragement. That gentleman with the backpack, I have no idea what was in that backpack. Don't care. All I know is somebody came to me one day and wanted my help. All they wanted was a cup of coffee. Maybe that will lead that person to doing something good. Maybe not, but I'm not responsible for that end of it. But what we are responsible for is making sure that we follow Jesus. Love one another, particularly those of the household of faith. Not just the household of faith, but particularly those of the household of faith. But we're all supposed to love one another as Jesus loved us. And how did he love us? By giving his life for us, giving his blood for us, making the final sacrifice for us as individuals. If there's anything we can do today that will help you out in being able to follow Jesus, who follows God, who does the things we're supposed to do in order to be able to get us to heaven, please let us know as we stand and sing.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Please turn your song books to 179. We'll sing this song as we prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow.
communion. If you do, raise your hand. Mark will get your son. Charles, your sermon today really did a lot for what different things I could say here at the table this morning. Back in our classroom this morning, we talked about being humble, how we need to be humble. Jesus came to earth and he humbled himself to give his life for us. A great sacrifice. He did not have to pay, but he did it for us graciously. And that sacrifice gave us a way to heaven. Way more than two mites. So many things we need to think about today. We need to humble ourselves as Jesus humbled himself. We need to put in our hearts, deep in our hearts, that sacrifice he paid for us willingly. He didn't want to go to the cross. And he asked his father, if it be his will to let that cup pass from him. But it was not God's will. It was God's will for him to face that cross, and he did. This morning we need to remember what Jesus did for us. He gave his body on the cross. He shed his blood on the cross for each and every one of us. We need to remember his sacrifice for us. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, humbly come before you. We thank you for this opportunity we have to come together this morning, hear your word proclaimed. We ask you to bless this bread that represents your son's body that was so freely given on the cross for each and every one of us, that great sacrifice he paid. Put that deep in our hearts that we should never forget. We thank you for your son, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. In like manner, let us give thanks for the food of the vine. Dear Lord, we thank you for your son, for your love. We thank you and ask that you would please bless this fruit of the vine that represents his blood that was shed for each and every one of us. Help us keep it deep in our hearts. We again thank you for your son. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also, upon the first day of the week, we're to give, as some of what Charles' sermon was about this morning. Give from the heart. We need to be cheerful givers. God has so blessed us in so many ways. And like the poor widow with the owner had two mites, but I feel deep in my heart that she was taken care of. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you. We thank you for the blessings of life that you have blessed us with, especially your son. Thank you for all the blessings, all the things you do for us. We ask you to continue to bless us. Help us be good servants and to you, that we be the type of servant you want us to be. Forgive us of all of our shortcomings and our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. Brother Jim has announcements.
have a few announcements this morning. I think we'll start. Ernie, you had an announcement, and I wanted to. We'll start out with something positive. I'm going to remember Diane. She's not here today. She's sick. We got many on the prayer list, and I would suggest, I was thinking with the bulletins, and there's bulletins left. When you're praying, you might get the bulletin out and read through those names and remember each one of them in your prayers. So many people suffering with many different things today. I know Betty's been sick. I'm glad she's back. And Bonnie's here today, so good to have her here. I hope she's feeling better.
Thank you for all your prayers, too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank Charles for that inspiring lesson today. I wanted to mention, having a spring meeting, too, that's coming up first week of May. There, I think, 4th, 5th, and 6th, Tom, right? And that's with Tony Terrell. Also, we have a sing scheduled. Tom scheduled these things. A sing the last Friday in June. And I think that's the 27th, but I'm doing that from memory, so it's the last Friday in that. Something else that I talked to you about last year, about House to House. And that will be going out sometime in the middle of April. And it will cover an area from New Straitsville, that town, clear up to through Maxville, goes into all the area in between there and Bristol, goes down from Bristol down to Moxahela out to Marietta Road. All those households in that area will be getting a house to house in April. And it's interesting, Charles, the main theme of that edition of House to House is on Jesus, the great physician. So a lot of things that we heard this morning, never lost a case. And I think that's the title of the thing, great physician that never lost a case. That would be the kind of doctor you want. Also, Norval Park's having the Men's Inspiration Day next Saturday. Keep that in mind as well. Let's see if anything else. Oh, yes, I did want to mention this, too. Last Wednesday, Carol Ann had a birthday, and I think we may have sung birthday and mentioned her name last week. I think, Ernie, after closing prayer, maybe we could do that again. I found out how old she was. I'm not going to announce it, but but my son was that age last year. And it's also for the parents, when your child comes that age, you think about that. That's something. So, yeah. So let's keep that in mind. We'll sing happy birthday here as soon as we close. I'll give you an opportunity at this time, anyone that has something else that I may have missed, get a bulletin. There's an awfully lot in it. Tom?
Remember Dave Hall.
Right. Yeah, that waiting, that's something. Also, Steve, I know we mentioned Steve here a week or so ago, some of the things Steve's got coming.
So. Need more details on our meeting coming up later.
Okay.
Also, keep Yona's family in prayer, Eddie.
Right.
Linda has
to have
surgery on Wednesday.
Okay, so Linda Stroll will be having surgery Wednesday. You keep her in your prayers. Anything else?
Final procedure coming up March 4th.
And say the date again.
March 4th.
March 4th. So that's soon, too. So keep Bonnie in your prayers as well. If you will, please, let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come thanking Thee this day for the blessing of life and all that You bestow upon us each day of our lives. So thankful for the privilege that we had this morning of coming here and worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray, Father, that we might take from this lesson, that we would give thee our whole heart, that we might be able to reach out to those around about us, that the influence we might have to do that good deed, good work that might make a difference in the lives of others, help us to have the zeal that we should have in serving you as our Lord and Master. So thankful for your love and the love of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Ernie, you want to lead that happy birthday?